Welcome, everyone, to the Perceptive Podcast here on Game Wisdom. I am Josh Beiser, the owner and lead writer. This week, we're doing a E3 edition of the cast, which is especially funny since none of us actually went to E3, but we're going to talk about it anyway. My guest tonight, artist for Smugbeat Games and Game Wisdom site designer, Kenneth Olm.
Hey there.
And returning guest and fan of the site, Lorison Poirier.
Good to be back.
It's great to have you. Okay, so I guess to get things started, E3, of course, was this week. We saw several of the major conferences. I know that I miss Microsoft. I think that was that the first day of the convention or like a few days in?
I don't know.
That just shows how great we are at covering E3 here on Game Wisdom.
Maybe we're not really covering, we're more like discussing E3.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about some of the games that were announced or that we heard about. I guess the ones that I was least excited about was from EA. We saw a new Battlefield game, I think it's Battlefield Hardline. And it looks like what they're trying to do is sort of, I wouldn't say copy Payday style, but sort of be inspired by Payday's cops versus robbers type mentality. But it looks more just like Battlefield, but instead of, you know, open desert and military, you're in a big city. And I guess, have either of you played any of the Battlefield games? Because I've heard they've been pretty buggy lately.
I have not.
No, but I definitely knew that the fourth one was a big letdown and people couldn't use the service and stuff. But it's weird because I actually liked two of the EA announcements. There's some awesome stuff. I mean, They showed a little bit more, at least more of the concept of what they're going to do in terms of its reimagining of, what's it called? Come on, Mirror's Edge. Which I really loved, even though people got really sick playing that game. I'm pretty sure my girlfriend would vomit if she played Mirror's Edge, because she has a problem with first person. But I think they're really trying to make the world feel less artificial, because before the world just felt like kind of like a playground more than a city. And I really hate the shitty cutscenes she took out. So we're going to see what 8 years, you know, has done for the franchise in terms of what they've been working on. Because they have been consistently working on it, they said. And the other one, even though I hate Dragon Age 2. I think they learned from their mistakes from Dragon Age 3 in terms of what they did wrong. So they're going to have, I don't know, how long has it been? Like at least 3-4 years since Dragon Age 2. And hopefully they took their time this round. So it looks beautiful, but it still doesn't feel like tactical RPG mechanics that I loved in Dragon Age 1. But what can you expect? Because Dragon Age 1 was fully developed by the original and the best version of BioWare, which I still, it's gone. I know it's gone. It hurts me. But it's, I mean, everyone that made the company that is gone. So they just have their oddly IP. So the game really looks more like, it's actually looking more and more I look at it, the more and more it looks like, what's it called? Dark Souls. At least that's that look. And but more realistic. Go ahead.
And speaking of Dark Souls, I heard they announced a spiritual successor to Demon's Souls that's going to be coming out soon, which I'm really excited about. I know when Rob was on the cast a few times ago, we both talked about how much we love Demon's Souls and the concept they had there. So being able to get more of that style, I think it's going to be really great for people like me.
Right. And, I mean, another big announcement, I guess, well, maybe we should go in order. What company are we going to talk about first?
And well, let's talk about EA since we're already on them.
Well, as I said, those two games that I said were the ones that I focused on. And the rest seemed very blah, especially the shooter stuff. It's always blah for me.
And did you see about how they announced a new Mass Effect game? I heard it's going to take, because I think, several years or future ahead of the original trilogy.
Future? That means that, really? Future?
I think.
Yeah.
That's going to make that, but they're going to make that stupid end canon. No.
Yeah, unfortunately, like, it's, like, the game's going to be set so far in the future that you're gonna be able to explore a whole new system in the galaxy.
So, sort of like, what they were trying to do with, like, Star Wars, like, sort of how Knights of the Old Republic took place, like, so far. I think, did KOTOR take place before or after the original trilogy? I don't remember.
KOTOR was really, really, like, several thousand years before.
Okay.
Right. That's why they could make their own rules.
So that's probably what they're trying to do with Mass Effect. They're trying to sort of have their cake and eat it, too. They're going to have a blank slate, but it will still be in, like, the same universe, in a sense, as the original trilogy.
Well, plus, if they were to make a prequel to Mass Effect, they would still have the looming problem of the Reavers, right?
Yeah.
So the new one, even though I really hate that ending, at least they can do something more creative. But then again, they're not the same company anymore. They're gonna make BioWare, like you thought it was shootery before, and the third one, it's gonna be like crazy shootery. It's gonna be called, you know, Mass Effect Halo or something. So I'm not I'm not holding my, I'm holding my breath. How's that? Because the same thing with Dragon Age 3. I am not, unless they're giving away some amazing hats, I am not, no, gonna get it.
I only,
I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait it out.
I don't, there probably won't be on Steam, so there won't be any TF2 hats with it.
Oh, you're right. Screw that game. I am not installing freaking Origin unless that game's getting glowing remarks. Like, I want it 5 stars. I want six stars out of five. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. Me to download Origin.
And speaking of EA, I forgot to tell you this, Larson. I saw SimCity 5 was on sale this week. And I was just thinking about who would enjoy that game most. I was thinking about buying you a copy and we could play together. What do you think about that?
I don't think we can be friends.
SimCity 5?
Yeah, it's been
oh
on
my
sale.
God. Well, what they lower it down to $1? Because I still reconsider if it was $1.
No, not yet. They're, you know, grasping at straws with that still. And, oh, and speaking of SimCity, they did announce SimCity, I think, 4? Is that what we're up to? I haven't played a SimCity game since, like, 2, and that was maybe, like, 10 years ago, I think. So I have no idea what's going on with the Sims franchise.
Right, well,
oh, yeah, Sims 4 is coming out.
I don't know how much they're going to bastardize it. Are they going to do the same thing with SimCity 5? Like, I'm like, all right, it's social. You can't have a house without being part of a social network, and you need to connect your Facebook to it. And based on how many posts you have on your profiles, how much money you can earn in a week, I don't know.
No, no, no. What's going to happen? Is they're going to make it so, like, it's an MMO just with Sims 4, and they're going to complete, and of course, that's already going to ruin it. Like, you're going to be able to enter a town and probably have other people come in, and, like, so, like, they can, like, live next to you in the apartment building. Oh, my God, it's going to be terrible.
I am horrified thinking about that.
Trying to think, is there any other big news from EA? Well, they, of course, did their whole little sports spiel, FIFA, the MMA game, Madden, and all that. And I think one thing that I found really fun about the EA conference was how they sort of they structured. So they did like 4 or 5 sports games, then they threw Mirror's Edge 2 in there, and then they went back to sports for a little bit. So it's kind of weird how they try to pace out, you know, all the sports lineup they had.
I mean, still, looking at it, in the end of the day, those two are the only things that stand out to me. Dragon Age,
it's
pretty good, but again, it looks too action-y, and its roots are pretty much kind of gone. It's like, again, it's what I expect Mass Effect 4 to look like.
Because
look at Mass Effect 1, and then look at what happened to Mass Effect 3, and then see how far the canons get degraded over time with EA's influence. But I still have a lot of faith in Mirror's Edge, because, I don't know, it's been ruminating for a long time, and I don't think they want to release it without, you know, probably looking at the faults of the original. Unless they spent 8 years trying to, like, what's the best way to put microtrans in this game? That would be the worst. Like, to jump, $5. Okay. You have to jump all the time.
Now, Microsoft was, I think, the main conference that I did not catch anything of. But I was looking at some of the games that was announced for it, and the one that I'm really interested in is Sunset Overdrive. This is the open-world hyper-action game from Insomniac Studios. And it looks like they've sort of learned their lesson from... Oh, I always forget. You know the game
Fuse,
I'm talking about. There we go. That they learned their lesson from Fuse, and this one, well, at least for right now, it's all, you know, very animated, very stylized combat. So hopefully it will actually survive that way until release.
By the way, you know what game that actually makes me interested for the Xbox conference? Is, not Destiny still is pretty interesting, but I would say their best exclusive is Dance Central. That's it for me. Because Halo, what, 5 Guardians seems very... I mean, that reveal from last E3 wasn't very exciting anyways. You remember where, like, he gets, like, for some reason Master Chief needs, like, you know, what's it called? Like a covering? What would you call that? Like the hood? The hooded stuff? I don't know. The point is he's covered in cloth. He's covered in armor already. Why would he need to be covered in, like, cloth and a shawl and whatever?
He needs to be extra mysterious.
Extra mysterious. We need that reveal. Just so silly to me.
And I just found the name of the Demon's Souls sequel. I believe it's called Bloodborne. I think that's the current title for it.
Yeah, I saw that, and pretty interesting. Because I thought this make it something Souls, you know, like the other games.
Yeah, and I believe it's being done by the original lead designer, so the guy who worked on Demon's Souls. I don't know if he was a major part of Dark Souls, but I know by the time Dark Souls 2 came out, he wasn't a part of the project at that point.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess we'll see as more stuff comes out. You know, I trust in that development. That development.
Yeah. Since Ubisoft was kind of in the news for a lot of the wrong reasons this week, we'll save their little conference and such for last. So let's talk a little bit about Sony. Sony's conference, I think, was the one that I kept hearing from my friends, like, the first half was really good, and then the second half was super boring. And, of course, I caught the second half of that conference. Was there any Sony-related games that either of you were excited about?
Well, there is that Victorian horror game, Order something?
18, something like that.
Yes, all right, game, Order 18, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that one. It looks pretty cool. I just hopefully they don't make it too, like, I mean, they have a great aesthetic and design mm-hmm. for it. But sometimes some of the scenes look a little too generic, and I just hopefully they don't lose that charm when they're actually playing the game.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do like the idea and I do like the setting, but it does look a little, you know, a little too blah in its gameplay.
Mm-hmm. And I heard people were talking about there's a new Little Big Planet game coming out.
Yeah, I forget the name. I was just looking at that a couple minutes ago.
Oh, Little Big Planet, it was one of those series that I thought originally when I got I was going to love playing it, love building levels, and then I just got, like, really tired of it quickly.
It's called Little Big Planet 3. It was in a unique name, I thought it was. But, I don't know. To me, that was one of the killer apps from the last generation. Like, one of good exclusive mm-hmm. was Little Big Planet. It was fun. It was creative. It was super cute. I think that's, like, a good combination for an all ages kind of thing without being too dumbed down. But, again, what you said is it's not for everyone. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like people that like to play Scribblenauts, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I got bored of Scribblenauts within, like, I don't know, 10 minutes after picking Cthulhu. I'm like, I'm bored. I've created the most powerful thing I could.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm done.
And it just solves all the puzzles anyway, or most of them.
Or it just makes you sadistic, right?
Mm-hmm. Let's see. Was there anything else interesting from Sony? I guess this is, like, one of, like, the big problems, and this is what we'll talk about probably a few minutes into the cast, is that a lot of it, I think, just felt like noise to me. There's not a lot that I remember from, like, the major conferences, like Sony, Microsoft, and EA.
What about that Dead Island trailer?
Yeah.
The second one? I did the opposite of the original one. I went silly with it, and I thought it was pretty good still.
Mm-hmm.
Still very striking.
Mm-hmm. Dead Island was interesting. I know when it came out, it had a lot of technical issues from the start. I think that sort of hurt its inception. And then there was that whole controversy regarding the collectible item of, like, the woman's torso, which is, that's always a great item to, you know, tell your parents or show to your girlfriend that you got.
Yeah, it was definitely a mistake. Someone should have went through and said, like, hey, guys, did this offend somebody?
Mm-hmm.
You mean, like, everybody? And it did, so.
Yeah.
Because is that what you really want to remember about the game? I think everyone wanted Dead Island to be more thoughtful.
Because mm-hmm.
the real trailer was so good. But you wanted, like, but all it became was less, like, a very
It became more bland. Like Dead Rising, like a less innovative Dead Rising.
Right. So the video was very successful in terms of it getting known and the interest from it, mm-hmm. it kind of betrayed them at the same time because it kind of lied to them.
Yeah, nothing in that trailer was in the actual game.
An island was in the game, so were zombies.
Yeah,
pretty much. So that kind of counts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about Nintendo, because this was the conference that I think I saw the most of. Nintendo, instead of having an actual live presentation, they went for an online one, and I think what a lot of people have been saying about Nintendo is that their conference could be described as pretty much 2015. It seemed like everything they announced was for 2015. So, what do you guys think about Nintendo's big announcements?
Very disappointing.
Okay.
I think their presentation was more interesting because it's all video, so you can do a lot of silly things with it.
Mm-hmm. What was disappointing to you about it, Orson?
Well, it is what I went down and I wrote down everything about this is that they announced like 12 games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Only one of them is a completely new IP. Everything else is either from Mario, Zelda,
mm-hmm.
with the exception of two games, which were Bayonetta 2 and then Xenoblade Chronicles X.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, I just don't find it interesting. Like, I'm just kind of done with seeing, like, the same stuff over and over. Sure, there's another Super Smash Bros. Brawl. Wow, that's not a surprise at all. Like, new Zelda game, okay? Like, and then a ton of Mario spinoffs, like, I don't know. I'm not interested in that. Like, if I'm going to be devoted to your company and buy your system, like, I want to see what's going to be new, mm-hmm. not the same stuff over and over.
I don't know. I would say Smash Bros. Is a pretty big deal because that's what everyone's waiting for. Like, that's a good system seller. A lot of people even debated that the other night. Like, do we want to go and buy a Wii for it? And everyone was like, no, let's get it for the DS instead.
Mm.
But it is something that I think a lot of people are trying to. I think it's going to help a lot in system conversion, right?
Mm-hmm.
So people purchasing it up. But I like that there was that Toad game that was pretty interesting looking.
The Captain Toad puzzle game?
Yeah, they look. They actually look like a new unique IP. I'm glad they did that. But hopefully they don't, you know, they don't make it too easy and too simplistic. And
what did you guys think of Splatoon that they announced? The online third-person shooter that involves, I guess, you're shooting paint and you're sort of like painting your territory.
Yeah, and you can like swim around in the paint, move around to a different location and stuff. Mm-hmm. That actually looks pretty cool. I'm actually pretty interested in that.
What about the Hyrule Warriors game?
I'm just not that big a fan of, like, the whole Dynasty Warriors, you know, one against 10,000 guys type situation. I played Dynasty Warriors, I played, like, three or four of them on the PlayStation 2, and I just got really tired of doing the same exact thing over and over again. Now, if Nintendo has some input and they're involved in it, maybe they can sort of branch out the gameplay. Well, if it's just, you know, Dynasty Warriors with Zelda, I'm probably going to pass up on it.
I mean, didn't the Team Ninja already ruin another franchise? Didn't they already ruin Metroid Other M, whatever?
Is Team Ninja doing Hyrule Warriors? Yeah. I thought it was Koei.
Oh, Koei's doing it? All right, I thought it was Team Ninja. That's what the rumor was. I mean, because they did release a like large-breasted woman for like really like scantily clad one. I'm like, this really fit with the Zelda universe. Maybe because it's more realistic, which is why it's weird to me. But I think the art style didn't really fit with the rest, and it was just there for exploitation. I'm like, not another one of these. Like, leave the Zelda franchise alone. Give it to some competent developers. Again, it's just a spinoff. Again, Metroid Other M was just meant to be a spinoff. But it became, like, a main entry and then became the worst thing ever.
And, like, the weirdest thing ever, I think, on a Nintendo system. Probably up there with, like, Eternal Darkness. But it was supposed to be weird, creepy Eternal Darkness.
Were you just saying, Ken, that you said Hyrule can be ruined by Team Ninja?
I don't think it's Team Ninja that made it.
Yes, it is. I'm looking it up right now. It says developers is Omega Force, Team Ninja, and Nintendo SGD.
Wait, Omega Force?
How dare you?
Omega Force, that is the Dynasty Warriors developers, though. So I wonder who is actually making it, then.
It says Tecmo Koei actually owns, it actually does own both Omega Force and Team Ninja. It owns both of them.
So I guess Tecmo would be the, you know,
so Tecmo bought Koei, sorry. Then. So we have another crazy Japanese developer combination, like Square Enix.
Right, but this isn't good, because, again, I saw some of the pictures of that. Here, I'll look up the screenshot of it, but it did not look like a Zelda game. Metroid Other M. If they're gonna do to Zelda what they did to Metroid Other M, it's gonna be horrifying. Like, what happens? Is he gonna talk? Is he gonna be like the guy from the 1980 cartoon?
Oh God! Is Link? Oh,
Shigeru Miyamoto already said that he would never allow that to happen.
Maybe Link will have like a PTSD moment and break down crying when he sees Ganon for the first time.
Right, and he has to everything Zelda says, he has to follow. He doesn't. He's, you know, just make sure he's in a whip relationship. Maybe they're gonna develop that. Maybe they'll give a love triangle with this new character, this new girl that they added. Though actually, that one character, what's the name of the girl with the ears? The name
Impa.
That design looks pretty cool, actually. I think that looks pretty neat.
Now, one thing I want to go back to what Lorson said a few minutes ago regarding Nintendo's properties remaining the same. I think this is one of the interesting, I think, strengths and weaknesses of Nintendo, and we've talked about this on previous podcasts, is that Nintendo does adhere to their stock of genres and characters. So you're always going to see a Mario game, you're always going to see a Zelda game, and so on. But when they want to, they can create interesting new design with these characters. So, for example, I'm really excited about an open-world Zelda game. If they can sort of take what they learn with a Link Between Worlds and make that into a full-blown adventure, that, to me, sounds really great. Same goes for Kirby Rainbow Curse, because we talked about how much we enjoyed Kirby Canvas Curse from a few years ago. So a sequel to that is great. But I do agree with you, Lorson, that it is somewhat of a shame that we're not seeing a lot of completely new properties from Nintendo. Like when we saw Pikmin was announced. I mean, how exciting was that to see this really crazy game for the Nintendo GameCube?
Well, yeah, and that was completely awesome. Like I like new IPs. I like trying stuff out, but I don't want to keep paying for the same characters in just different situations, really.
Well, I mean, they've been hammering us with the new Super Mario Brothers over and over again, like eight iterations of it. Ever since they made that one in the DS and did well. Yeah. But people kept buying it, and it was a way to keep them afloat. But what were you expecting? You know that they're going to release mostly first-party stuff.
Yeah. Now, the reveal about Bayonetta 2 being it will also have an enhanced edition of Bayonetta 1, I think that's a smart idea. It will get the people who never played it on a Nintendo system, obviously, since the first game never was released on the Wii, I believe. So this will be a way of sort of getting that franchise, hopefully a new home on the Wii U.
I mean, the style itself didn't really fit with the rest of the games in the conference, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Its look, it just seems weird. Same thing goes, I mean, Chronic, and also Xenoblades, too. Like, it's the only one that really stood out to me in terms of the art aesthetic.
Yeah, but it's always interesting. I think you're right about it, because we're so used to seeing, like, this cartoony or very animated art style when we talk about Nintendo product. So when you have something that looks realistic or gritty or something like that, you know, it's somewhat of like of a culture shock when you see it attached to the Wii U. Somewhat similar to when we saw, you know, Mad World release on the Nintendo Wii.
Yeah, definitely. At least with Mad World and those games, those were original and really stylized-looking RPGs. I mean, not RPGs, I mean, stylized-looking games
mm-hmm.
for the system. So I'm wondering, what's other than these announcements, what are third parties going to do for the Wii U? Especially after, you know, there's more systems sold via, you know, Smash Brothers.
So moving on, another big thing from Nintendo that I was sort of excited about was the Mario Maker. So for those of you who didn't hear, this is essentially a course editor for Mario. You can use it on the Wii U, and you can create pretty much Mario levels, either in the style of the old 8-bit ones or the new Super Mario Bros. Wii U. And I don't know why, but I think having, like, be able to create my own Mario levels has me really excited. What about you guys?
I think that the indies have been riding that so hard that I've already got my share of platformers or platform creation games.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Horace?
Eh.
All right.
Like I said, I wasn't really impressed with anything.
Okay. So with that, let's talk about, I guess, their big quote-unquote hardware announcement. That is the Amiibo. I think that's how you pronounce it. And this is essentially Nintendo's answer to the Skylanders Disney Infinity craze that's been going on. What they're planning on doing is you get the little figure. So they've already shown a Mario, a Link, and a Wii Fit Trainer. And you put it on, I guess there's like a little reader on the Wii U controller, and that sort of downloads the character into the game. I mean, if you're going to have a property to have these types of things, probably Nintendo's the next best thing compared to Disney. But I'm not quite sold on it, because they didn't really announce, you know, what is this going to be doing exactly, other than having little characters in the new Smash Brothers game.
I would say the biggest benefit is having those awesome figurines, and that's it. Go ahead.
Sort of like what Disney Infinity is, so you can, instead of playing the game, you just collect all those great figurines, or you collect them and then you sell them at a marked up price.
Yeah, you can do that, but I think that people still love the product they create. That's why they keep releasing the same games over and over again.
So I take it you weren't too excited about the Amiibo either, Larson?
This is actually the first time I've heard of it, and I just looked it up, and I'm going to buy all the figures, keep them in a box, and put them on a shelf.
Yeah, I bet that's what a lot of people are going to be doing, too, especially if they have, like, the same level of craftsmanship as the Disney Infinity characters.
Oh, it looks that way.
Yeah, they look really nice. Like, they remind me, like, a lot, well, because they essentially are, like, the Skylanders,
mm-hmm.
which I've seen. And I don't know, I'm not going to do it for whatever the game it's for, but I'm just going to buy them because they look cool. And it's probably going to be affordable, too. Like, it's going to be in competition with Skylanders and Disney Infinity. They're going to be about, what, like, $10 a pop? So,
and I'm not sure if this is true or not, but I thought I heard they were saying there's going to be some sort of cross-compatibility with Disney Infinity, but I'm not 100% sure on that one. So I think what's going to be interesting about the Amiibo is if they do go the route, you know, having exclusive releases. I know with Skylanders, they had a pair where you can only buy specific characters from specific stores. And of course, that marked up those prices extremely high at that point. I haven't heard too much about, you know, crazy Disney Infinity prices, but I haven't been following that one too much.
Well, I mean, the craze has come, and they're, like, late to the game. But, the character designs are so awesome, I still think it'll be successful, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, let's see. Is there anything else from Nintendo that we can talk about? I think that's it. Before we talk about our favorite games, then, let's talk about Ubisoft's conference and what they've been going on this week. Because they've had pretty much probably the most controversy out of E3 and pretty much from this week in general. So, first thing was they, of course, showed off a little bit of Far Cry 4. They talked about the new Rainbow Six game, which is sort of going for I guess so, like the SWAT gameplay where you have like four people co-op against a group of criminals and you have to sort of break in and save the hostage. And then there's the big thing, which is the whole controversy regarding Assassin's Creed Unity. And the developers basically saying that we're not including female characters because it would be, I think, too complicated or it would be too much money to have female characters involved in the game. And of course, that raised a lot of issues. And even some developers came out and said, no, they're lying. It wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Yeah, I mean, they should have given a better reason than that. I mean, that was like the least tactful answer you could give. Mm-hmm. You could just said, well, we didn't want to add in a female character because it didn't fit with our narrative and story and the world we created, at least for this version of Assassin's Creed. Mm-hmm. They could have said something like that, and that would be a good answer. You shouldn't shoehorn a gender role if it doesn't fit what your story is, right?
Yeah.
Because there's certain viewpoints you have for male or female, and you could argue that way. That's more reasonable than it's too much work effort to do that.
Yeah, that wasn't. I mean, even the response you gave would have caused some trouble, but it would at least be a very direct and truthful statement. It's not like they're trying to hide behind saying, oh, we don't have enough money to throw a woman in the game.
You could argue artistic vision, right? That's what you can always do. And you could, it all depends on the game, too, and how they present it. But the person who said that was, that's like the worst thing you could have said.
Mm-hmm. And then someone else said that we were going to have female characters in Far Cry 4, but then they said at the last minute to not do that. So, you know, just throwing more crap on the fire.
Well, listen, the guy in Far Cry 4 is even less interesting than the guy in Far Cry 3, which is saying a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I actually would have liked the female protagonist in Far Cry, but...
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Now, I would say that, and this is sort of the post I wrote the other day, is that there is a point regarding cost of having to design brand new characters. We've seen this in a lot of indie developed games, where if you're going for a unique style, to create brand new characters can cost a lot of money. And the example that I used was Skullgirls, and how they had to raise an additional $150,000 just for one new character to fit into that game.
But it's a lot different, though.
Yeah.
It's a fighting game, right?
Mm-hmm.
So not only do they create a new character,
they have to create
all that art
and the animations.
Yeah, that takes forever. And don't forget balancing issues and all mm-hmm. the mechanical stuff that goes into a character mm-hmm. like that.
Yep.
It's a lot of work. I backed that, actually. That's my first Indiegogo project.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the company.
And I just bought Skullgirls the other day on sale, so I've been getting into that. But that would be an example where money would be a factor. But you sort of can't use that when you're talking about AAA budgets and AAA design. Like, if you're a developer like Ubisoft or BioWare or EA, chances are you do have enough money to create more characters. What a lot of people have been saying is they feel that Ubisoft probably said at the beginning they didn't even think about having female playable characters, and this is sort of their scapegoat that backfired.
It's weird, because they did make a game with a female protagonist. What was that?
Assassin's Creed Liberation, I think?
Liberation, right. And it probably didn't do so well, but that's not the fault of the game. That's
no.
the fault of the system.
Mm-hmm.
What do you expect from such a low, you know,
the
install
Vita.
Base?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So hopefully the bigwigs there didn't say, like, well, girls can't work because it didn't do well in the Vita.
Who knows? Vita. We all know. But, yeah, I think from what I've been reading, it's just my thoughts about how this happened. I bet when they were designing the game, pretty much no one said, hey, maybe we should have a female protagonist this time, or we could have the option to play as a female assassin. And, of course, when someone asks about it, they're all like, I don't know what to say. And, of course, they said the first thing that came to their heads, which was incredibly stupid.
Yeah, they went economics, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not very... That's not the answer people are looking for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of other better BS reasons, but, I mean,
mm-hmm.
they could have done it if they really wanted to.
Yeah, and that's what I think a lot of people are arguing about. It's not like the mode they're talking about is a multiplayer mode. It's not like a deeply enriched story with, you know, 8 hours of cutscenes and voice acting. It's, you know, a mode where four friends get together and either play against each other or play with each other.
Right, and hey, I mean, if you think your series is going stale,
mm-hmm.
then why not have a female protagonist, someone striking? Because Watch Dogs was by Ubisoft, right?
Yeah.
And to me, the weakest part of that game was the main character being really, really boring.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about him was like, he's like a non-character.
And I just love how they were trying to make him look all cool by, you can dress him with different hoods and different handkerchiefs over his face. Like, wow, he's really striking there.
Right, and I think that, you know, they should have stuck with their main mechanic, which is hacking, over being kind of like a watered-down open-world game with some hacking in it.
Mm-hmm. I guess, Lorson, what do you think about what we've been talking about regarding Ubisoft having trouble? They're trying to rationalize not having female characters in the games.
What number game of Assassin's Creed is this coming out? Like 5?
Really? I don't know. I stopped playing them after 2, maybe 2.5. Ken, I think you played them more than me. Which one is this?
There's Creed actually, 1. Go ahead.
I've just counted the whole list on the Wikipedia page. This will literally be, like, if we count everything, this will be their 10th Assassin's Creed game.
Ugh. When did the series first start?
No, don't count.
2007.
Don't count the handheld ones, I would say.
Don't count the handheld ones. I think that's 6. So if it's Assassin's Creed and Assassin's Creed 2.
1, 2, 3, Revelations. And then this one.
Black Flag.
Mm-hmm. Black Flag, sorry.
And then Unity. So this will be 6. Now, if it takes you more than 6 games to incorporate a main female character as, or even a playable female character.
Mm-hmm. Wait, but they did. They did with Liberation.
But then, of course, that was on the handheld, which we can't count.
No, but they also released it on Steam.
Oh, yeah. But in terms of the main series, there still hasn't been a main female protagonist.
And if it takes you over 6 games, and then even at the 6th game, you're trying to defend yourself for not having one, I think that there's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even Pokemon, by their 2nd generation, you could choose between a girl or a female.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a female and a male character.
Yeah.
Like,
but there's a lot of series.
It's not that hard. It's literally not that hard to plan it from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of series, though, that always had a male protagonist or whatever in their characters. But I feel that a lot of series that go on too long also do, whenever they do have female characters, it's always going to be offshoots like Liberation.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right, there is probably a problem like that. I don't think there should be any, like, hardcore requirement that you have to, after a certain amount of time, you need to have a female protagonist. I think that when your game or when your narrative or whatever fits, like if the stars align, I think that's definitely you should do it. But whatever, you don't force it either, because if you do it incorrectly or you do it haphazardly, then you're making it even worse or exacerbating the problem with a bad female protagonist, like Wet.
Yeah. I agree with you on that, but I also think part of the problem is that a lot of game developers, or at least AAA developers, pretty much they all stick with the standard, you know, generic white males or protagonists. We talk about this with Watch Dogs. You could even say Uncharted is an example of this, Gears of War. Pretty much, if it's a AAA game and you have a main male character, he's going to be, you know, the same somewhat reasonably built white guy with maybe some kind of facial hair. You know, if he's supposed to be gritty or a badass.
It's got to have the, you know, the marine haircut. The guy who is pretty much Shepard from Mass Effect, and
typical cliche.
Mm-hmm.
And then who's the open world guy from Sony that had like lightning powers?
The Infamous guy.
Infamous. The Infamous series. Like that look has been done in so many games. I think that's like the easiest one. Everyone goes like pretty built. Marine. You know,
mm-hmm.
closely cut, 5 o'clock shadow kind of guy, and that's it. That's all they do.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah, and that's why I hope when we start seeing some new IPs, and this is another reason of what Lorson was talking about with wanting to see new IPs, new experiences, is that it would give us a chance to see new protagonists other than, you know, white guy. White guy saves the world.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Like, it's just the same stuff over and over, different story, different characters, sure, but the same main character, it's the same general theme. Like, you can mix it up too. Like, that's not going to ruin your, like, your name for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
I think they kind of tried with Liberation because they not only didn't have a female protagonist, but a female black protagonist, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that was, and don't forget, set in that time period where it would be, there's a lot of racial discrimination too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also, but they also released the game on like the PS Vita, which, I mean, I think it's pretty safe to say not many people have one.
Yeah.
They should have released that and PC at the same time, and it probably would have done a lot better.
They should have also released it on the consoles, I figure, too.
Now, yeah.
I mean, they also don't see it as like a
downloadable game.
Yeah. Now, I think another last part of this argument would be people who try to use history as a defense, and you can't have a female warrior in this period because it wouldn't make sense. I sort of call bullshit on that, because if you're dealing with some kind of, you know, crazy situation to begin with, then you can't really hold history to say, you know, a woman would never fight vampires or be a master class assassin against Templars. And don't they have aliens in Assassin's Creed now? I thought someone said that.
Well, maybe. But I would say, I have the other side of the argument too. Is I had a friend like a little too sensitive, saying that if a character has a breast armor or is there any sort of armor that fits to a woman, that's not realistic history, and hence it's perpetuating the problem. I'm like, I think that there's a difference between like armor for a woman and sexualization of a woman, and he doesn't make the distinction. And he says all of it is a sexist argument.
Also, off of what Josh just said, something about like history being like accurate a bit, like what this Ubisoft, this new Assassin's Creed game is going to be set in France.
Mm-hmm.
Like the most famous assassin, I guess, in French culture is a woman named Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how could they not be more accurate by putting a female character in?
Mm-hmm.
If they're so concerned about accuracy.
Yep. Well, it comes down to development money, right? So, I mean, they need to be safer and safer and safer with their tries and their games and their protagonists and all stuff like that. And they don't want to isolate their audience, which is not a good reason, but that's how I would perceive it if I was their CEO, right?
Yeah, but it is one of those things that even if they give the most quote-unquote rational response or answer to why they want female characters, it's still not a good response overall in terms of the state of the industry, especially with how people are getting more interested in these issues regarding more cultural diversity, both in video games and with just having, you know, more women join the video game industry.
Yeah, I mean,
absolutely. Their answer is 100% unacceptable.
Yeah, I think I said this before, there's no way they could have came out of that, you know, smell like a rose. They would have had to piss some people off, but the answer they said was pretty much, you know, that was pretty much full nuclear work. You know, no one's going to find that a good answer.
It's like they're kind of scared. Like, Remember Me was another black female protagonist.
Yeah.
And they didn't do so well. And maybe they're using that and Liberation as a reason not to. I'm like, Remember Me has a very striking visual look, and it's also had a great soundtrack. It just had really, really, really poor mechanics.
Yeah, and again, you can't really blame that on the protagonists.
Mm-hmm.
That was what they designed for that game.
Right. But again, they're using those kind of failings as a trying to rationalize if that was the reason, and it's kind of sucks that they're being represented that kind of way, because there's still a lot of potential there. So,
yep.
I think AA games and, you know, like indie games are doing a lot more in that field, you know, in terms of equality, both for like, you know, genders and minorities.
Yep, especially when we talk about how great The Walking Dead was with the protagonists of Lee and Clementine. So we had a great black character with a young girl protagonist as well. And I didn't play most of season 2 yet, but I heard they're saying really good things about the writing and how Clementine has grown in season 2.
And I definitely played all of season 2, all the way through the newest episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're still doing a really great job with her. And you think about her, she's not, for the first Walking Dead, I mean, that's like the best minority written and
female character.
Well, not female character, but child character I've ever seen in the game. And the new one, your main character is a little girl and a minority too, because it's sometimes black.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. I mean, changing times. And I think that everyone really loves the series. Even though I heard the third game had mixed feelings, some people think it's the best, like I do, or people think it's the worst of the last three. But, I mean, when you actually play it, you get in here.
Yeah, whenever they release the final episode. I know Wolf Among Us, I think we're at the season finale next episode.
Right, and I'm not going to get that series till it's done, so we, like, swapped it out. So we should definitely have a Walking Dead podcast later.
Cool. Okay. Before we move on then and talk about, I guess, games we're excited for, any final thoughts or things you want to say about Ubisoft's conference or controversy?
I don't know. They won pretty big last year, and I think they was just very underwhelming this year. Because I think the reason why EA3 was very kind of meh this year was because it takes a long time to develop games. So sometimes you're just announcing games that you're already announced before. And you're like, hey guys, update, kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not entirely their fault. And it costs a lot of money to release a game. It's very stressful because you have to release a demo, you have to create things for these conferences, and sometimes it's not worth the manpower to actually produce it. And hey, even after all your work, it might be received very, very badly, you know?
Yep. What about you, Orson? Do you have any final thoughts around this whole Ubisoft matter?
I just don't like them. That's all it comes down to.
All right.
Yeah. Because they did some really great games last year, or last E3, so surprised they've fallen so far.
Yeah, Ubisoft is a very strange company among the AAA developers, so there's some years that they are like the most hated group out there, And then there's years that, you know, they're the best of the AAA developers. And I think this must be the downturn season right now.
To me, the only benefit they have is that at least they release their games on Steam, right? While EA doesn't at all. They both have their own stupid, you know, online distribution service, which I hate. I hate both of them. So they're both marked in my book. But EA had to do something extraordinary for me to install Origin, because I can live with Uplay.
Yeah. I would say my final thought about Ubisoft, and this is just a general thought about E3, is I'm tired of seeing scripted gameplay being told, you know, as, oh, this is live play, we're having people actually play this, because it's getting more and more fake in my eyes. Like when I was watching the Rainbow Six reveal and how just very mechanical it looked playing it. Like it didn't look like there were actual people playing this game. It just looked like the computer was playing it, or, you know, staged, sort of like the Colonial Marines fiasco.
Right. And just, I would say people would be fine with that as long as you put some sort of warning in the head. It's like, this is, you know, this is our conceptual video of the game. People are like, oh, okay. Yeah, pretty good.
Yep.
That's fine. But if you make it sound genuine, I think that's when you can hurt people.
Yep. Okay. So let's move on, and we'll just talk briefly about, I guess, what's our most excited thing from the show for each of us. So,
you know, I should do? I should just list out all the games and never say their opinions really quick with, like, a sentence. You ready?
Okay.
Star Fox.
I was going to say that. I'm so excited that you said Star Fox, too.
Okay. I'm really excited for it, too, because the last one we got was, what, Dinosaur Island?
Let's not talk about it.
No.
Let's just not talk about the last one. Let's just say Nintendo 64 Star Fox.
Yeah.
This better be a good sequel. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I think it's going to be cool. You have a little screen. You could just, there's a lot of things you could do with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like you could see inside your little cockpit. And oh, my God, it's going to be so good.
you could see, like, Flippy or, you know, all those guys talking to you on the little screen. And you're like, oh, you guys are so lame, but I love you. I guess I'm going to go through the indie games, too. So I'm going to say them all at once, right? Mm-hmm. So Broforce.
That looks pretty good. It's been on Early Access now for, I think, the last year. So it'll be interesting to see how they actually take that one.
To me, it's kind of what it's trying to be. I think Mercenaries King kind of took its place in terms of what I wanted. So not really interested in Broforce. Thorson, no?
What?
If you don't know anything about it, say skip.
The only thing I pay attention to is Nintendo. That's it. I don't know anything that you're talking about.
Scalebound?
Nope.
I haven't heard of that.
Okay. Fable Legends.
I was seeing someone talk about it. Is this a new game? Is this a side story?
It looks like they're trying to invigorate the, I mean, it's a whole kind of game because it's kind of gone down the chute and they don't have Molyneux anymore, so. You know what it kind of looks like, just looking at it? It looks like a sillier version of what they're doing with Dragon Age 3. But that sounds like really weird to say something like that. But the look is kind of similar to what they do with Dragon Age 3. It's less stylized. It's more bland looking now. So to me, not very excited.
Okay.
Little Big Planet 3.
Again, I think I'm more interested in the Mario core setter than Little Big Planet.
I'm interested in the soundtrack. That's it, really, because I don't own a PS4. They're going to release a remastered version of Last of Us, which sounds pretty cool. Because Last of Us came at the end of the cycle, so I think this would be a good time for people to pick it up for the PS4. Skyforge?
Haven't heard of it.
Me neither. Mirror's Edge?
I'm interested in that. I still have to play the first one. I never got around to it.
Well, go try it. It's actually, it's decent. It was during the initial new IPs from EA. Yay!
When we were happy about EA, right?
We liked them then, yeah. now look at us. We hate them now. Lichdom, Battle Mage, no?
Nope.
Batman Arkham Knight.
Yes.
Go ahead.
I'm not exactly sold on the Batmobile, though, because I'd rather just be swinging around Gotham and dive kicking into people.
Yeah, but I have faith in it because it's, you know,
it's Rocksteady.
Rocksteady, right? The original developers. I think it would have been even better if Origins never existed.
And
that put a stain on the franchise.
And I think we got Kevin Conroy back as Batman.
Oh yeah, they did.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the original voice actors again, which is awesome. Captain Toad, Treasure Tracker, what do you think?
I heard that the mini game from Super Mario 3 World that's based on is pretty good. So yeah, it sounds like it could be a good fit.
That might be one of the best original stuff that they're releasing. I'm going to skip PlanetSide 2 because it's already been out for like a while. Sunset Overdrive.
If they can actually keep with the cartoony aesthetic and not let go of Fuse on them, then yeah.
No, it's going Fuse. Believe in it. No, I actually have a developer that worked, a friend that just started working there recently, the last couple of years. So he should definitely know what's going on with Overdrive. So I'll give him a clip and see what he thinks. All right, is there a game called Let It Die? No?
Never heard of it.
Call of Duty Advanced Warfare.
Nope. It's not even nice fun.
Amiibo, which we just discussed. Now, this is my favorite game. This is the one that I was so interested in. I was still debating, like, throw my money at it, like, right away, which was The Witcher 3.
Definitely interesting. I'm going to probably be yelled at, but I just did not like The Witcher 2.
Why do you have that bust in your room?
I was excited about it because I loved the first Witcher. I just didn't find the gameplay, like, if it was like too much of trying to combine an action game with an RPG. The combination just didn't feel right to me in the same way like something like Dark Souls or Demon Souls did.
I mean, there were still some flaws from the original system in there, but I still think it was far better than what was offered in the story and narrative. Mm-hmm. Like, in terms of like a real role-playing game, this felt like a role-playing game. It really felt like you were in the role of Geralt of Rivia. And it makes me really excited. I'm going to actually try to read the books, too. Because there's a lot of things in the Witcher 3 trailer that showed, like, I guess, characters that existed in the books. So I want to give it a shot. And I think two or three of them are actually translated in English, and the rest are fan-translated. So I'm going to give it a read-through.
And but, also, if you are interested in pre-ordering the Witcher 3, GOG is running special pre-order bonuses and sales for anyone who buys it. If you have the Witcher 1 and 2 attached to your GOG account, you get 20% off the game right then and there.
Nice. Well, it's discounted too on Steam also, and I own both of them on Steam, so I also get that discount, I think.
I don't think you get the full 20% though. Let's take a look.
Because I'm sure it's $60, and they're you're probably right.
Yeah, but what you can do, and this is great, is you can take your CD keys and put them in on GOG. They have a link on the Witcher 3 pre-order page, and you can get your copies, basically a reserve copy on your GOG library, and then that will count towards the pre-order bonus.
Ooh, so I can put my Steam keys on there?
Yeah.
Steam does have the CD keys, so I can figure it that way. That's a good idea.
Yeah,
I definitely own both of them.
Yeah, that's what I did with the Witcher 1. I bought the enhanced edition off of Steam, and then I just inputted that, and now I have both Witcher 1 and 2 attached to my GOG account.
Hey, Larson, if you want to get into this series, this would be a good time, because if you pre-order it, you get 1, 2, and 3. And it's probably one of the best RPGs of last generation, and I think it's going to be this generation, because I have a lot of faith in this company, because, hey, they have a lot of money to throw around. It took a lot of time to build this game, and they're balling the cash from GOG, so I think they definitely have put a lot of work and thought into this game, so I'm expected the greatest.
And you get Neverwinter Nights Diamond Edition if you pre-order from GOG.
Ooh, and I love Neverwinter Nights, but I already own it. Darn you. Darn you, GOG sales. Okay. There is Dragon Age Inquisition. Sorry, I love the universe, so I'm gonna hold my breath. But that to me is more like we'll wait and see kind of thing. Battlefield Hardline.
I think I'm gonna stick with Payday 2.
Skipping Metal Gear Solid Phantom Pain.
That did you guys see the trailer to that?
I did actually.
I was like, what the hell am I looking at when I was watching that?
I guess someone explained to me that's like how Big Boss became from a good guy to a bad guy. And that's pretty much what I saw. I'm like, okay. I thought it was a pretty artistic trailer. So that anyone that you know, played the previous games would get it. But anyone that's new, what's going on?
I played the previous games, and I have no idea what was going on with that.
Well, I don't know either. Okay, so I just want to wait and see for that one, too. And I don't own the system, so... Well, I don't own any in the current console, so I can't. Phantom Dust?
I've heard a lot of people love the original Xbox. When I played part of it, and I thought it was good, too. So if this gets us more people to enjoy it, maybe it'll convince them to make more games like that, I'm all for it. All
right. Tales of Xillia 2.
I've never played any of those series.
You didn't play any Tales?
No.
Wait, you haven't?
No.
I played zero Tales games.
Tales series is pretty good.
Mm.
I don't know. He's been pretty down in JRPGs of late, so.
Okay. If you don't like JRPGs, then you definitely can't play Tales without wanting to throw the game out the window.
it's not that bad. The battle mechanics aren't 100% turn-based.
Oh, no. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying, like,
cliches.
You know, if you don't like JRPGs and you try to play it, you're going to hate it because it's a definite JRPG.
The last one that I think I really enjoyed was either like the Etrian Odyssey games or Xenoblade Chronicles.
I guess mine would be Tales of Vesperia that I played.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the Xenoblade Chronicles, that you can bring that up right away. So Xenoblade Chronicles, what do you think?
I'm interested. I love the first one. I think it was my favorite game of 2012. So yeah, bring on more of it.
Yeah, I'm excited for it too. Sims 4.
I'm just not a huge Sims fan. I talked about this, I think, with Chris Park a few weeks ago. I'm not a big sandbox fan. I like games that have some kind of goal, something to work towards. And The Sims is just really about that dollhouse or sandbox mentality.
I am definitely interested, but if I hear anything bad about it being online, that's it.
Screw Origin. That's my one sentence review. But I'll wait and see also, because I don't want to end up in the SimCity trap that people fell into.
Mm-hmm.
Legend of Zelda?
Yes. I don't know how they're going to implement open world gameplay, but if they can pull it off, I think it's going to be a real treat for Zelda fans.
Yeah, me too. That open world and that grass look beautiful, so I'm excited to see what they're going to do with that. Forza Horizon 2.
I'm not a car racing guy, so that's completely off my radar.
Skip.
Mm-hmm.
Super Ultra Dead Rising 3 Arcade Remix.
Is that the real name of it, or did you just make that up?
No, that's real. It's called Super Ultra Dead Rising 3 Arcade Remix.
No, thank you.
Well, Dead Rising 3 wasn't that interesting, so, but I guess you can play the other characters from the original game, so, I don't know. Maybe I'll give it a download when it comes to
World Cup. Oh, and it is coming to Steam. They announced Dead Rising 3 is going to be on Steam.
That's good. Mm-hmm. I actually would like to play it then. Mortal Kombat 10?
Yes and no. I mean, I like what they're doing with the single-player content, but they have just screwed up royally with multiplayer for the PC versions.
Yeah, but it's because they don't care about the PC.
Yeah.
No one cares about fighting against the PC.
Except Skullgirls, I think.
Except for Skullgirls. They're like, hey guys, we're free of our oppressors. They formed their own company and got the game back.
Mm-hmm.
They can do whatever they want, and they know that PC exists, and they're very supportive, so it's good.
I should probably ask them for an interview, because I think it'll be great to talk to those guys.
Yeah, go ahead. Oh, there's one game that people have been talking a lot about, Middle-Earth Shadows of Mordor.
Is that the Assassin's Creed-ish spinoff, like Lord of the Rings style?
Yeah, Assassin's Creed behind enemy lines kind of Middle-Earth kind of game. It looked interesting. Could be cool, but so many freaking Lord of the Rings games have been so terrible that I don't want to... I'm not really that interested in the game, but I like what they're going with it. So I think to me, that'd be my black sheep of E3, that game.
Mm-hmm.
Could come out, could be amazing. Could be another Arkham Asylum. Dawn Gate? MOBA? No?
Nope.
Shape Up? Nope.
Nope.
Isn't that a shoe?
Shape Up? I don't know if that's a shoe, but it's a game. UFC, Madden NFL 15, skip.
Yeah, skip that.
Yes, thank you.
Now, this is the game that Losh and I have been excited for. How about you? Evolve.
Oh, yeah, that is good.
It looks interesting. It's from the original Left 4 Dead developers.
Turtle Rock.
Mm-hmm.
So, I have a lot of faith in it. I'm going to throw my money down. I think they made it a great game originally. So, the full team's work on it. I'm putting all my money behind it.
Mm-hmm. And isn't it true that they sort of had a falling out with Valve after Left 4 Dead 2?
Well, maybe. Because I think Left 4 Dead 2, at least the aesthetics, kind of like betrayed.
Yeah.
Left 4 Dead like 1's original like throwback to all those horror films and zombie films, along with the characters being, you know, even though they're kind of stereotypical, they at least had a lot of character to them.
Mm-hmm.
And Left 4 Dead 2's characters are so bleh.
I know, you don't like Rochelle.
Rochelle is the most boring character in gaming history. I guess there's Star Wars Battlefront.
I've heard a lot of people are excited about that.
I never played the original, so I think I only played it like once or twice. So I'm not super excited for it, but I still want to see what they're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But it's EA's hand, so I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah. Abzu? No.
Never.
Valiant Hearts?
Looks, art-wise, looks really good, but I didn't really see much of gameplay.
Same. Devil's Third?
Is that the one by Tomonobu Itagaki?
I think so. It's Nintendo on it.
Yeah. I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, I love Ninja Gaiden Black. It's my all-time favorite action game. But then things sort of went downhill from there. And it's unsure just what exactly, you know, his involvement was. You know, did he have that big of a factor during its success or not?
Yeah, I don't know. It looks super generic. So, because we need to kind of wrap this up, I want to look at things that are more interesting. It's Kirby.
Definitely excited about that.
There is The Order. 1886, by the way.
Uh-huh.
Is it? There's the new Doom.
There's a new Doom?
No. Yeah, new Doom.
Okay.
There's Far Cry 4.
I don't know. If they put Punkbuster Force it on this one, then just screw it for me.
Borderlands, the pre-sequel.
It sounds interesting, but I think it's really going to depend on what Telltale's going to do with that. If it's going to be another just straight story narrative, like what they've done with The Wolf Among Us and The Walking Dead, I wonder if that's going to rub fans of Borderlands the wrong way.
Uncharted 4.
I played up to the second one. I just got bored of it.
I think Aliens Isolation is the one I'm excited for, too. Another Black Sheep game.
That's the, like, the more horror theme, uh-huh. game, right?
Because the first Alien was a horror movie,
yeah.
actually. So, it's good. Oh, Grim Fandango has been announced. Made, so, that's pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm.
There's No Man's Sky.
Haven't heard of it.
Yeah, there's Civilization Beyond Earth that's coming out.
That looks interesting. I mean, I know a lot of people are disappointed it's not going to be, you know, Alpha Centauri 2, but I think having a sci-fi spin on Civilization, at least after Firaxis sort of nailed it with XCOM Enemy Unknown, to see them do something new that's not just a direct Civilization game, it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, I agree. And like, we already talked about the rest of the game, so I don't think there's anything much more.
I think the only one for Nintendo that we missed was the new Yoshi game, where they're all like made out of yarn.
Yeah,
yeah,
I heard
Yoshi's
about that.
Woolly's World.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there a new Tomb Raider game coming out?
Yeah, I haven't. I heard it's going to explore like her like PTSD from surviving the island.
Oh, that'd be cool. Mm-hmm. I mean, it kind of showed her becoming. It's called The Rise of the Tomb Raider. So she's a sociopath now. Perfect.
And Yoshi, I'm excited about it, but I'm going to wait and see, because I want to basically see how they're going to approach it. Is it going to be like a super kiddie, you know, no difficulty? Is it going to be like Kirby, where normal game is easy, but then optional stuff is super hard? I don't know.
Don't kid yourself. It's going to be easy. You know it is. But the last game that could be pretty racist is Homefront. What do you think? Homefront?
I haven't heard of that one.
The one where North Korea takes over America.
Oh, that one, yeah. Was that the one that did, like, really horrible? I think it closed the studio after it came out?
Yeah, it closed the studio, oh, sadly. THQ, the one in New York, actually, got shut down.
Oh, yeah, Chaos Studio. Chaos? House?
Yeah, they only made two games before that, though. I actually knew one of the artists that worked there. Mm-hmm. That story.
All right, so with that, let's move on and I think wrap things up with our final topic, and that's the ever-popular Who Won E3 Award. We talked about this on previous casts, you know, it really doesn't mean anything. But I guess for the two of you, was there a clear winner or a winner in either of your eyes at E3?
Yes. I would have to be, even though I said I was very disappointed, I'd have to say Nintendo for the sole reason of Star Fox. Thank you for bringing back one of the greatest games that I've loved from my childhood, and it better be all in an R-Way.
Okay.
Mine would be I guess it would be Nintendo. If you had to look at the big three, that would be the one because of Smash Brothers.
Okay. Were there any from like the elder developers like Ubisoft or EA that got either of you excited, or was that just boring?
Mass Effect made me sad, and then Evolve.
Okay. And I think for me, I have to agree with you. I think Nintendo for me won by default for not being completely boring, because Sony put me asleep. Ubisoft, I just got really tired of their canned footage. EA's, you know, the whole sports lineup doesn't interest me, and Hardline just looks very standard for them. And I think with Nintendo, each game that they showed, it looked interesting. I mean, I love the idea of an open world Zelda. Mario Maker sounds great to me. Smash Brothers, of course, I think we're required to buy Smash Brothers if we're a Nintendo fan. But I do agree with you, Lawson. I would have liked to have seen at least a little bit more in terms of original IPs. I'm surprised they didn't announce like a new Luigi's Mansion game or a new Pikmin. I heard some news that Intelligence Systems, the guys who made Advance Wars and Fire Emblem, may be working on a new strategy game, and that has me really excited.
Like a new IP overall?
I think so.
I mean, Fire Emblem's pretty good. I'd be okay with another game of that. But if it's a new IP, I'm definitely very interested.
Mm-hmm. And I think Nintendo's presentation, they sort of avoid a lot of the problems that the other guys had. They didn't have a live conference, so they were able to stage it. It felt a little bit more, I think, personable compared to the other conferences. That we've talked about this, or we've seen pieces that people worry about how it just seems like, you know, bunch of, you know, stockholders talking to their corporate buddies type deal. Nintendo felt at least a little bit more personable with Reggie and Iwata on there, as well as having a lot of developers talk about the experiences and what inspired them to make these games.
Right. So, again, that's the big benefit. And it doesn't cost nearly as much money,
mm-hmm.
right? So maybe they're on the right track
mm-hmm.
in that regards.
Yep, I think that is Nintendo's big strength right now, is they're the dark horse of the industry. You don't know what you're going to get from them. I mean, with Microsoft and Sony, you're going to see somewhat similar games because both their systems have similar control designs, similar technology. But with Nintendo, you really don't know what you're going to get from them, which is both good and bad.
I think that's the opposite, actually. I think you know exactly where Jaina gets them, but I think you're everyone's rooting for them because they're kind of in third place.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not. They're definitely predictable. What the game's going to come out. You know it's going
to
come out.
Yeah, we're going
just, to see. You're just like looking at what could be on the fringes of these first party releases.
Mm-hmm. Like when we see Nintendo go outside of their norm, they can make some really great games, but it just takes forever for them to do that. I mean, we're probably going to sit through maybe another 2-3 Mario platforms before we see another unique IP from them.
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely see if they have to do anything inventive, because to me, they haven't really sold. They just haven't sold me on the Wii U yet.
Mm-hmm.
Why I should get it, other than the games that are coming out, but they haven't really sold me on terms of why I need that screen.
Yep.
I think that's the major problem.
And I was telling my friends, I mean, a lot of the games that Sony threw, I want to buy, they're making me want to buy a Wii U, but they're making me want to buy a Wii U in a year from now. There's nothing that's selling me on the Wii U at this moment to get me to, you know, run out, buy it, and, you know, enjoy it right then and there.
Red Steel 3.
Of course, yeah.
Of course.
I think with that, can probably wrap things up. Do either of you have any, like, thoughts about E3 you want to share?
I may get a Wii U or a 3DS. That's pretty much what I'm going to say. Maybe. That's pretty much what's happened to me. Look at that E3.
Okay. And what about you, Larson?
I mean, I pretty much said everything I've said. I've said everything that I wanted to say earlier.
Okay. Awesome. Yep, I think that will do it then. We're just going to have a quick cast this week. There really wasn't any news outside of E3 to talk about. And pretty much all the topics this week have been related to E3 anyway. So, we can wrap things up. Ken, Larson, it was great talking to you today.
Yeah, no problem.
Yeah, thank you for inviting me.
And as always, for those of you listening, if you would like to contribute to Game Wisdom, we have several ways of doing that. If you would like to be a guest for a future cast or write a guest piece, you can find all the information and links under Submissions Wanted on the front page. And as always, we are running a Patreon crowdfunding campaign to look for essentially monthly donations and support to improve Game Wisdom. And you can find all the information and links under the Patreon donate information on the front page. So, with that said, thank you for tuning in to the Perceptive Podcast this week. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you again next time. Take care.
Good night.
Good night.